Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Holy cow, we're back here in Bushwick, Brooklyn, streaming live on the Heritage Radio Network. Arts and Seizures. It's the first day of spring, and of course, it's going to snow. The weather is just getting weirder and wilder. But, Jack Edward Martin, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Our special guest here today is the Bob Dylan Death Watch.
Well, actually, it's Jack Martin's Bob Dylan Death Watch.
Jack Martin's Bob Dylan Death Watch.
Featuring Jude Weber and presenting Rebecca Robertson. The special appearance by Eric Reed, who's the gentleman who plays drums with us, who is serving coffee to...
He's serving time today.
Well, if the man don't sell, sell the myth. Exactly. It worked for Liberty Valance, it worked for Bob Dylan, and now it's working for you, Jack Martin's Bob Dylan Death Watch Explosion Project and band and show. All right, so... what's going to Bob Dylan Death Watch? I'm just worried that when he dies, you're going to have to rename your band.
We've already thought about that.
You've got a contingency?
Once poor Bob goes, it's going to be Jack Martin's Bob Dylan Death March, which can go, go to the end of time on that one.
Well, I do worry a little bit.
I did hear a rumor that Bob Dylan was getting back together, though.
Bob Dylan was getting back together? Oh, he's got it together. Plenty. He's reinvented himself for,
As someone who's also a fan of the 80s records who I turned Jude onto when we lived together.
We could talk about 80s Dylan because that's a very underrated time in his career. I mean, he has a sort of...
Silvio, the ugliest girl in the world.
Well, those gospel shows, those Christian records are amazing. Underrated. Shot of Love is a great record, but the performances he was putting on at the time were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those gigs were out of control. I mean, you never seen him so spirited.
Yeah.
And he was traveling with Dobermans.
Oh, was he?
So I've heard.
Oh, yeah. Were you the one that was telling me about that it was all... Actually, it was friends of ours who were here who had witnessed to the gospel era. And apparently, Bob was just obsessively reading the Bible and just doing a bunch of marching powder.
Biblical quantities.
Yeah, I don't. Exactly.
He's still reading the Bible, obviously. Listen to any of his records, and that's it. He's got one of those big stands, I'm sure. In his living room.
But that's a
that's a pretty good book, actually.
It is a good book, but it's not the only book.
But that's what you did before before the internet. You do a bunch of blow and then read the Bible. Nowadays, you do a bunch of blow. You get online and look up ghost photography.
Or listen to Bob Dylan.
Exactly. Look up bootleg versions of Elston Gunn on YouTube.
All right. Arts and Seizures, the bootleg edition. I think we got someone's cell phone going off.
But, no, that's Jude's.
No, that's the cell
phone. All right, guys. Tell you what, give that thing a kick, and why don't we start off with a song? Let's get the Death Watch started.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Bob Dylan's Jack Martin Death Watch.
This is a sweet... This is a sweet song written by Fernando Pessoa, who is a Portuguese poet. who split up his personality into heteronyms. And a lot of tunes.
Casual reference.
A lot of tunes. Okay. A lot of tunes that are attributed to Carter Family or any of the brothers. Stanley Brothers, Leuven Brothers. Were actually
Gibson
written,
Brothers.
Gibson Brothers. They were all written by Fernando Pessoa, which a lot of people
Ringling
don't know.
Brothers.
So... When
this
I
is
met
your
Re-
personal campaign, isn't it?
When I met when I met Rebecca, she taught me this song. Deck my brow with roses, my true love. Give me will shine within my hair, and even those that know me will think my heart was light. Though my heart will break tomorrow, I'll be all smiles tonight. I'll be all smiles tonight, love. I'll be all smiles tonight. Though my heart will break tomorrow, I'll be all smiles tonight. And then the room he entered with his bride upon. On him, just like he was a charm. And now he smiles upon her as once he smiled on me. They know not how I suffered, they found no change in me. I'll be all smiles tonight, love. I'll be all smiles tonight. Though my heart will break tomorrow, I'll be all smiles tonight.
When the dance commences, oh how I will rejoice. I'll sing
all smiles tonight, love. I'll be all smiles tonight. Though my heart will break tomorrow, I'll be all smiles tonight. I'll be all smiles tonight, love. I'll be all smiles tonight. My heart will break tomorrow. I'll be all smiles tonight.
All right, can you dig it? The Edwardian Jack Edward Martins, Bob Dylan Deathmatch featuring Professor Jude Weber and the elegant assassin Rebecca Robertson.
This is true.
Can you dig it? You guys got any religious numbers talking about Bob and the Bible?
We actually do.
Well, it's a good time to get right with God. Today's Palm Sunday, I think, and we're facing Easter next week. I don't know. I'm a fucking Jew. I don't know. But Bob was a Jew, and he's got it all sorted out.
It's true.
Palm Sunday's a great story, like Jesus riding on an ass with the waving the palms as he comes into the gate. It's one of my favorite like New Testament stories.
It's one of the greatest stories ever told. You know, weird thing was last night we watched the movie Titanic, which I adore it. I gotta tell you, I mean, I know people never believe me when I tell them how much I admire this movie. But once you get past the really bad acting and the kind of ham-fisted dialogue, you know, and the plot, which you know how it ends, and it's actually really good.
And the really really early like CEG stuff. Yeah. If you look at
but
that
it's
movie,
huge. Yeah. But the money shots when the propellers come out of the water and the thing snaps in half. I mean, it's fucking incredible. And I was reminded, I somehow this slipped my mind that Bob Dylan on his, not his last record, but the one before, Tempest, did a 14-minute ballad about the sinking of the Titanic, you know?
And is it a new one?
Tempest, you know, which was, you know, I kind of tried it. When it came out, I thought it was a little croaky. I've been having a little trouble with Bob over the last years. I mean, his voice is shot, I hate to say it. For the guy who is, and I know you agree, the greatest singer of all time. You know, I always say I don't like people who don't like Elvis, but I realize now I need to be more harsh with people who don't like Bob Dylan.
Well, I mean, listen to Desire. Like, amazing. Amazing.
Like consistently amazing since, you know, his first record. I mean, it was a little croaky, but then I sort of got past that a little bit. Kind of like the way I got past the bad acting and the bad dialogue in Titanic. And I realized, you know, Tempest is a great record. And then the last record he made, which is just crooning those, you know, he says he's not covering Sinatra numbers. He's uncovering them.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it's more like he's covering them with dirt.
Yeah.
Like there's a 6-foot hole and he's just pouring that dirt in there. That's the only kind of covering. Because that extremely peculiar phrasing and extremely peculiar takes on them, but I love them.
It's devastating, and I went to see him the last time out, and when he's like "Stay With Me," which is, you know, I mean, it's a Sinatra song that he sang it in a movie that no one watched, but yeah. I think it's the best religious song I mean he's ever done, possibly. It's so beautiful, and it's obviously, I mean, he means it so intensely when he sang it. I was practically crying, much like I was at the end of the movie Titanic when the old lady dies and joins Leonardo DiCaprio in heaven.
But wait, what happens in that movie? She loses her comb or something?
It's the diamond.
No, the comb sends her back through the trembling trajectories of time.
The memory hole.
It's funny. I stayed in the Jane. Does anybody remember the Jane Street Hotel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all fancy now, but years ago, I stayed in the Jane Street Hotel, which was like a weirdo SRO place, but it was where all the Titanic survivors landed.
Oh wow!
I mean, it's super fancy now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very boutique-y with a lounge and.
But it used to be like it used to be a, you know, single room occupancy style with a one bathroom on each floor, and I had a weird, very very strange,
old weird New York.
Yeah, it was a very old weird New York style experience.
Have you read Bob Dylan's book?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's I think the smart thing, the genius thing about Bob Dylan's book, aside from the fact that he mentions Gorgeous George twice, which kind of validates me as a wrestling fan, so I'm like, this is great, the portrait he paints of Greenwich Village at the time is positively the most vibrant I've ever read.
Well, the other thing about that book that
the time being 1962
that I love too is like there's a super consistency in that whole book. It's all about transitions, everything from like the room with the Civil War literature to being in New Orleans and with the plate of shitty French fries and like just one, like everything is about like the jumping off point to another place.
As someone who's actually writing a chapter about Archibald MacLeish, sort of forgotten American poet, the episode in which Dylan goes to meet him is just hilarious to me. I love like quoting it to people. It's like, you know, this kind of like old tired liberal poet is like, I'm writing this play, why don't you write some music? He's like, oh, who are you? Okay, I'll come to your house. It's like,
well, back when a time when poets were actually, you know, had some presence in the American, you know, popular culture landscape. I mean, I challenge any of you to name a poet whose career started after, I don't know, let's say 1975.
Billy Collins?
Ann Carson?
That's good. Well, Billy Collins was the poet laureate of the United States, right?
Yeah.
But I think he started writing before then. Okay, but that's good. I mean,
Charles Simic.
Collins is awesome, but...
What about Charles Simic?
When
No, he's older too. I feel like I'm going to be
Justin Wade Thomas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but
Justin Wade.
Motherfucking Justin.
Okay.
Wade
well, Thompson. I asked a fucking room full of brainiac beatniks, so it serves me fucking right. But
actually, this is my segue. Speaking of Justin Wade Thompson, this next song, which is our religious song, was written by Justin Wade Thompson, who's a gentleman he's from Seguin, Texas. the jewel of the Guadalupe. And Justin Wade Thompson, there's a Jam Messengers who were on last week. We share a label called Sour Moon Records, and this tune that we're going to play was written by Mr. Justin Wade Thompson, and you can get a version of it on the Boozy Cray record. I gave to you last week. Shall we play this song?
So if anybody wants to hear that record, they can come over to my house.
Yeah. And actually, if you go over his house, you got to PayPal me $5. Pal.
All right. So you're playing for pizza.
Yeah. We're very happy to. Are you ready? Do you remember this song? I don't.
This one?
Yeah.
Just go up and steal. Devil Winston's gold tooth and his chrome dome wheels. Popping Devil Coke like it ain't no joke. Been smoking cigarettes and drinking Mexican Coke. Smoking cigarettes and drinking Mexican Coke. Smoking cigarettes and drinking Mexican Coke. He's gonna break a leg. Took a scalpel from a white man down in Winnipeg. Got a little sister call her Ann Oxendine. Well, she's pissing blood made out of turpentine. Pissing blood made out of turpentine. She's pissing blood made out of turpentine. Piss and blood made out of turpentine. Piss and blood made out of turpentine. Oh! Ain't no blind lemon, ain't no Willie Mattel. At the crossroads with no soul to sell. Got a little magic they call the Conqueror. Well, I got a black mama and a rattlesnake too. Anytime I want, I got a rattlesnake. 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 Anytime I want, I got a rattlesnake.
Very special.
All right. Arts and Seizures with the Jack of Arts, Jack Martin, and his Bob Dylan watch. Oh, man. So if one were to try to find you all out there on the trail, you troubled troubadours of today, where might one find you?
You know, we probably...
The elusive Jack Martin.
Very shortly, I think we're going to be playing in a hotel that doesn't exist.
It's very hard to answer this question, isn't it?
It sounds like a ghost story.
We took a vow of silence.
We could call it. We could just describe it. We could say it's a very red room.
We're going to be playing in a red room sometime next month.
In the district of the Packers of Meat.
Our drummer... went up to Montreal.
To get himself lost and found.
Exactly.
And I see. Are you going for the Willie McTell tuning? Is that what I'm hearing?
Hound Dog Taylor.
Ah. Well, all right then.
I'm lazy.
Well, it's all right. We got pizza while you tune, Jack.
You guys tell
it's
story.
A perfect Sunday afternoon. We're eating pizza. You're tuning a guitar. This is a beautiful thing.
Rebecca, tell a story. Or do you tell a story about how Jude. You met Rebecca?
Ah, the mythology of the Bob Dylan Death Watch. The origin story.
I think I was hanging from an apple tree, wasn't I? I was like caught in the branches. You fished me down.
I was bit by a radioactive spider, and I'm not even in the band.
I mean, I remember that.
Well,
I
could
that on TV.
I can tell you my Scarlett Rivera story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who played? You were talking about Desire, which is, you know, like a landmark Bob Dylan record. It's such a great record. Hurricane, you know, and One More Cup of Coffee and Joey. It's such a great record. And I was doing these gigs with my friend Joe Bastianich, and we had done a Led Zeppelin wine tasting that was very successful, where we sort of paired wine with Led Zeppelin songs. So you want some with Celebration Day, you want some bubbles, right? And going to California, we're going for some Chardonnay, some oaky Chardonnay.
Chardonnay, really?
You know, yeah. Well, you know, but you know what? That's the whole point. We can talk about it, right? So we had like six flights of wine, and you know, and talk about. But I'll tell you what, when we get to Kashmir, it is like a big motherfucking Barolo. Okay, it's just this big, expansive, huge fucking wine. You know that lasts 14 minutes.
Are you from the West Coast?
No, I'm from right here.
Okay, because I think going to California requires something like a cava.
Ah, Spanish cava.
Yeah.
You see, you go to California. To me, that's the Joni Mitchell thing. You know, it's like I hear that and I see macrame, I smell patchouli. you know, I don't know. That's like probably my least favorite Led Zeppelin song. You know,
sage.
I should just. I mean, you know why hippies wear patchouli? So blind people can hate them too.
Hey, what's orange and looks good on a hippie? Fire.
So we did this gig. The guy that threw this decided he wanted to do after the Led Zeppelin thing, which went very well and was extremely well thought out about New World Zeppelin and Old World Zeppelin and the terroir and the blues and, you know, and like, you know, medieval Europe. And it really worked on a lot of levels. Like, look, either it's like Spinal Tap of wine or it's like incredibly, you know, shrewd and Robert Parker-esque next level. Anyway. The guy said, we should do a Bob Dylan wine tasting. And we're like, that doesn't really make as much sense in so many fucking ways. But it was for charity. And the band they got was a band of Bob Dylan ringers, which was really weird. They had this guy.
But was everyone, like the drummer was a Bob Dylan ringer?
Yeah. The drummer was a guy I played with him briefly, but he was on the Bob Dylan's Unplugged, MTV Unplugged, which is amazing, by the way.
Oh, wait,
it's astonishingly good.
I misread that in my head, like that it was like dead ringers for Bob Dylan, which is even more entertaining. When you're, like, it's not like Rob Stoner.
No, Rob Stoner was in the band.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, Rob Stoner, who I knew he was, you know, Rolling Thunder, but he'd also had this rockabilly thing that was on the Uncle Floyd show a lot. Okay,
which is
equally as heavy as playing with Bob
Dylan.
We
could go on about Uncle Floyd for.
I got a book, Uncle Floyd. It's really been my goal. I've been on the radio with him before, and
I actually went to see him just a couple of years ago.
Can
in
you
Patterson.
Explain this to the rest of us who don't?
Man, Uncle Floyd, if you don't know who Uncle Floyd is, like,
well,
Uncle Floyd was a
from here.
It was a children's show. I actually had all the records.
It's the most subversive television show in history.
Yeah, Uncle Floyd and Oogie. Oogie was his puppet, and there was Looney Skip Rooney was on it, and it was a children's show.
Well, it looked like a children's show,
but they would get loaded in the WWWWWH.
It was the same set as Romper Room, but then they'd have musical guests for like the Dead Boys and the Ramones, and
Pussy Galore.
And it
the
was
Misfits.
Every local punk rock band.
Peter Tork, Blotto.
I remember Looney Skip Rooney, Uncle Floyd, and he'd always do personal appearances back in the day. It was on Channel 68,
yep.
Which is a local UHF channel, pre-cable.
Right after the Hercules cartoon.
And, you know, they would do these shows in this sort of punk rock following. It was very, very funny. I remember Looney Skip Rooney. I went with the only other punk rocker I knew in high school, this girl with purple hair, who was, you know, back in the day, you used to get the shit beaten out of you if you had purple hair.
Yeah.
You know, the other girls used to spit on her, and the guys made fun of her. And she's, you know, perfectly nice girl. She's probably like an atomic scientist.
They spit on her because she had purple hair?
Yeah, those are the days. Let me tell you something. Those are the days.
Consensual.
Wait, if you were into punk rock, you got beaten up. You know?
Oh my God. I'm sorry. Just a little gender politics.
Yeah. Gender politics. There was a thing in the New York Post yesterday, and it was a sex survey saying that most Americans, you know, like more than half Americans are into something kinky. But the problem was how they define kinky, which I contend is a very suburban concept anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you put on some frilly underwear and that's kinky sex?
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's my life.
I mean, a Richard Nixon mask with a cream pie.
You know, leap, you know, putting on a cape and leaping off a dresser, screaming Batman.
Yeah,
that's mine. That's not kinky. That's still, you know, that's still within the range of baseline normal. But the problem was with the list. They said, like, okay, on the same list of what was called kinky was listed. Rubbing up against someone in a subway. Okay, that's fucking assault.
That's not kinky.
Pedophilia, like, which is a hanging crime where I come from.
That's
okay, not... flashing yourself, which is again assault, harassment, at minimum.
You're talking about
okay, and also like foot fetish and cross dressing, which are harmless, wonderful things.
Whoever compiled that list,
look out this window though.
Needs to talk to somebody and have a little conversation.
Of what's wrong with America?
Okay, this is an absolute wormhole, but putting pedophilia on a list of something considered kinky is the most insane thing. It's not funny. And
no,
also,
it's not funny at all.
What happened to your brain cells?
No, well, you know, the New York Post who seems to have tilted full, you know, fully hard for Trump.
We're talking the New York Post here, too.
God.
I mean, that's kinky. Trump is kinky.
God bless them. So anyway, after we did this Bob Dylan wine tasting, which was kind of a disaster because it doesn't work. Anyway, so the drummer was from, like, he was in his band for, like, half a second. And the singer was the ringer. He looked like Bob Dylan. He was this big Jew with curly hair and a polka dot shirt and a leather jacket. He looked just like him. And he had to get up there and, like, you know, pretend to be Bob Dylan every night. Like in a Doors cover, tribute band, cover band, right, whatever. But he was Bob Dylan. But Scarlett Rivera was his band. Rob Stoner, who was, like, Bob Dylan's sideman for many years. A very nice guy, by the way. And they were like, you should hear the conversation. Okay, we're doing the Tom Petty tour soundcheck version. You know, this before, you know, they got to like a 35-minute version of Desolation Row, which is hard to pair wine to. You know, it's easier to pair heroin than that. Right. Anyway,
you can do the one where it's like, yeah, the Burgundy. You started out with Burgundy.
Yeah. Dude, that could have been like,
a really nice Burgundy.
But it didn't work because... First of all, they didn't get it, the band. I was telling a story about how my parents hated Bob Dylan. My mom would say, turn that shit down, you know? But I could be playing, you know, the Dead Kennedys, No Complaint.
right.
Even Ornette Coleman, No Complaint. Right. Bob Dylan, turn that shit down, because some people just don't get it.
He might be a vehicle. There might be a subliminal thread just enmeshed in the tone, vocal tone quality, because I think there's something about the way his tone hits a lot of people that makes them feel very uncomfortable.
If we're talking about kinky, Bob Dylan's hair.
I fetishize his voice. I fetishize his voice. Anyways, I met Scarlett. She was so nice, and I said, "Oh, Miss Rivera." Afterwards, I'd love to have a picture taken, you know, at the bar. It was going good and all stuff. And my girlfriend at the time says to her, she was just trying to be nice. She goes, "Oh, you know, you're so great. I love it. You know, I mean, I got to tell you, Desire is one of my favorite records." And Scarlett just teed off. She goes, and she just turned into this like crazy gypsy in front of my eyes. She goes, "Honey, that's not the only fucking thing I've ever done. I've got a fucking career. Don't you know? I've got the Scarlett Rivera band." It was like really crazy. It was really unhinged and unexpected. And the poor girl was like practically left in tears. I mean, all she was just trying to be nice. What do you say to somebody? I feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel bad. You're famous for something that happened 30 years ago. And she played wonderfully, you know, that night with this, like, stupid cover band. You know, I mean, that's it. I mean, you're playing in a Bob Dylan cover band. I know you probably have your own thing and you're wonderful and the stories that Bob discovered. But she just really came unglued. It was, like,
and
really
the
scary.
Funny thing is, like, probably if Dylan didn't, like, pull over the taxi and pick her up to play on Desire, like, she'd probably just be, like, some West Village gypsy playing at, like... Someplace
the West Village
Laker
Gypsy.
Yes, yeah. So one of those places, you know, with
the bitter end.
Yeah. You know. Instead, she's going to have a bitter end.
It was just, I don't know. I just left trying to, I don't know. Remind myself, there's a lesson in humility somewhere in there. Well, and, you know,
one of my favorite stories, similar to this but with a different type, is a dear friend who used to work at PBS, and Marianne Faithfull was slated for an interview there, and he was a huge fan of Marianne Faithfull, and because I always like these. People that you admire, meetings that go terribly wrong, or just they're wonderful. So you're like, oh yeah, just should have never engaged, don't engage. So he was really excited that she was coming, so he looked through his record collection. He had just moved the night before and couldn't find any of her records, but found the Girl on a Motorcycle soundtrack. And he was like, okay, this will have to do, like, I can't find her records. Does the audio for the for the interview and then comes up after shyly with the girl on the motorcycle soundtrack and is like, Miss Faithfull, I'm a huge, huge fan. You know, can you sign this? And she takes the record. She looks at it. She turns it over again, and looks at him and says, honey, I'm not even on this fucking record. And he's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I just moved. I'm working really early, blah, blah, blah. And as she's signing it, she says, look, I got my life together. I suggest you get yours together.
I'm with you, though. That, I mean, it's a little bit of a badass response, but I feel like get over yourself at a certain point. Someone just wants to talk to you because they admire you. You don't need to take them down.
I didn't expect Scarlett for her to do a full heel turn.
Well, yeah.
Burst
into flame.
As I've learned from professional wrestling, we live at the whim of our fans. You know, everybody in this room that plays music knows that, you know?
Yeah,
I just can't imagine, you know. I mean, I'm only rude on purpose. I mean, that's what someone once told me, that a mentor is only rude on purpose.
This is true.
All right, as ever, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today. So go find Jack Martin with Rebecca and Jew. They will be playing at an unnamed hotel somewhere, sometime in the past or future.
It might be more difficult because all those names he just mentioned are in quotations.
Exactly, that's true. They're hard to find.
So, you won't find them on your internet machine. You're just going to have to get old-fashioned card catalog style. Go to your Bible in the corner like Bob does, and it's got a big thing. And
aren't we trying to plan on the steps of the New York Public Library?
Well, it's actually we were going to play at Carnegie Deli, which is going to be a big deal.
Well, that's the last of the great Jewish vaudeville theaters.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to see you next week on Arts and Seizures, or maybe not. Next week is Easter, so maybe we'll just sit back and
read the Bible.
eat your ham
and eat some ham and that is, as my friend Patrick Martin's always says, the Jewish paradox. Free ham. What do you do?
Yeah.
All right. Jack Martin's Bob Dylan Death Watch. Thanks, guys, for coming down. Thanks, Dave, the engineer. Thanks to everybody in Radio Land. We're Arts and Seizures and. We're going to go out with one more tune. What do you got for us?
This is an old American folk song.
Like an Elvis from hell. Heart is broken, I'm going to hell. Bury me way down deep in hell. I'm a steel driving man, I'm gonna go to hell. Go tell Ivy, oh, for the love of Ivy, yeah. I did it for Ivy, oh, yeah, you were the one. Buy me a graveyard of my own. Kill everyone ever done me wrong. Gonna buy me a pistol just as long as my arm. Kill everyone ever done me harm. Yes. Jawbone eat, jawbone talk. Up just like an Elvis from hell.
It's Arts and Seizures with your host, Mike Edison.
Arts and Seizures.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaeli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.